let me take this opportunity to acknowledge other members that are here. With the Department of Education and training the incoming government as well as the official of the SOP in our midst. We are happy to be willing to have time to come and give us information regarding your KPP so that we exercise our oversight role in terms of actually interfacing and putting clarity wherever we need to be there. But before proceeding to making our request, I don't believe that anybody will be offended if it takes us 7 minutes of silence and praying to our God to lead us during this process. Can you pray? Amen. Maybe before we proceed again, I would request that we actually introduce ourselves so that it will be easy for us to engage. I am Lynette Mirozwani, the Secretary of the Committee on Education and Recreation, which encompasses arts and culture, sports and recreation, basic education, and higher education. So I would request my group to introduce themselves.
I am Sapanasani Mamburu, the head of the committee with the Department of Design by the Chapter and Department. Thank you.
I am Tandy from Kambo Tukwana. I'm the member of the committee. I believe that taking the main community loan is taken, member of the
committee. My name is Ntomisha Aula.
Good morning, my name is Han Stock. I'm also a member of the Select Committee.
Thank you. My name is Manana Saki, member of the committee.
Good morning, I'm Aaron Kunnewald, member of the committee and representing the Northwest Province.
No, thank you very much, sir. My name is Kudimbo Lakonde. I'm working for the Department of Education Training. Thanks.
Hey, good morning. Honorable members. My name is Firoz Patel, and I'm from the planning branch.
Good morning, members and members. My name is Mbuisi Matsudama, working for the National Schools Fund in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Rain Simba. I'm the planning branch.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Jesse Barr. I'm the location for the Senior Education and Training Branch in the
GDP. Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Regis Lanza Masovo. I am from the Department of Higher Education and Training in Vocational and Continuing Education and Training France.
Good morning, my name is Faisal Safi.
Good morning, I'm Gina Umer, I'm in the CFO.
Good morning, members. I'm Kian Strudu, I'm the CFO of the Department.
Good morning, I'm Kumala Sokhoya, I'm the CEO of the Department of Education. My very warm greetings to some of the officers from the department. I'm Ken Montesco, I'm from the Department of Education.
Good morning, I'm Helen Pentec, I'm a driver for the Social Services Department.
Okay, thank you for the introduction. We know one another now. And we all understand the issues of the Constitution 1619. It is expected
of the SOOP support institutions and individual organizations from certified to recover and prevent whatever is appropriate and is sustainable.
Now, Chair, also I wanted to talk about the mic and also object that the department has sent us a homeboy. He is not that much.
But there is a need. No, sir, let me just make that the lady you made. Yeah, but we do raise concern for the fact that and we want to see more women in the public of us doing what the ladies are doing. I hope the DC will explain that one.
You will.
Later on. You can actually see the need from the side of the members. There's a same list of members from our side of the same department. I was just saying, honorable members and officials of the department, that you know that our constitutional mandate as NCOP, we need to call departments, body institutions that are relevant to come and give an account of their activities to us for as long as they are funded by the government. Hence this meeting where the department is going to be putting us on their APPs in the budget. I know that the APP of the department has to be aligned to the NPDP, has to be aligned to the Strathland, has to be aligned to SONA and all other policy directives. But I would request that for purposes of this person, our focus be on the APP and the department because of high concern. We are going to be giving the department just a couple of minutes to do the presentation today. 35 minutes at most, because after this department, the Department of Education coming into the policy, it will change. So it's a time constraint. We do request that the department clarify certain issues that we saw in your annual government plan, but I decided not to get into those. The members will have the privilege of actually zooming into those after we've been given a presentation and satisfy ourselves that everything is on track on the side of the department. However, again, because time is not on our side, you might not be able to answer all the questions that are going to pose. But we should request that the questions that is remaining please be answered in writing back to the committee, because as you know, education is very broad. It is a broad issue that cannot be able to discuss in about 25 minutes or an hour even. We need a day to sit together and discuss a variety of issues that are challenges or are posing challenges in the department. So without any further waste of time, I'll hand over to the DG. To lead the discussion and start with the apologies if there are any issues.
Thank you very much. On the apologies, I think the apology of the delegation has been sent in writing because the cabinet is sitting in Pretoria at the moment. So that's why the apology is not in. The second apology that some of our officials were to fly in this morning, flight timetables for who are called of course. And unfortunately it happened to be women. Those who happen to make it at the last in last night. So that one is really out of our control. It's laws of nature that we need that determination. And the president, I think, we find it quite specific to congratulate the new member of the Lens Committee for this administration. And we're really committed to working with him. And displaying the best that we can in the authority that we have our countries, our people there. Thirdly, in the presentation we were talking about divine life and our appeal to colleagues as we are presenting to isolate area of empire. But let me start by outlining what we saw as the major challenge in the system as a whole, in the country.
So, before you continue, one of the members had raised the concern about received documents in purposes of meetings of this nature. I thought maybe we did you actually explain through. It puts us in a very difficult position because we need to interrogate the documents and be able to assist in supporting the department. We are not trying to point here, but we are attempting to support the department to perform editing. That is the most thing. So when we receive documents late, it puts us off everybody.
No, we iron that out with the parliament supplier before
this.
So that we, yeah, should not lead into that next time. By executive, I also included the deputy minister and the vice, so I think the executive, for the minister as well as the deputy on that point. Now, what we identify as a major challenge in the city as a whole is the provision of post-school education and training, which is inadequate in quantity, in diversity, and in many parts, not in all instances, in quality. So our programs in the main are looking at responding to this critical challenge that we have identified. So as we are explaining, we actually focus on this. What then are measures and interventions that were developed in order to respond to this challenge? So the Department of Higher Education and Training was established in May 2009 by way of proclamation by the President of the Republic of South Africa, which is responsible for all post-school education and training. By post-school, we mean everybody who is no longer in school, whether that person has attended fully or not. Everybody who is not in that system is our responsibility, irrespective of the level of education that one has attained. That is why the area of our responsibility in the main is university, technical and vocational education and training colleges, we call them TVET, Exeter Education and Training Authority, we call SPITAL, Exeter Education and Training were developed into the notion of community education and training colleges so that we could be able to respond to elementary skills needs across the entire city as well. It's Human Resource Development Council, which is set by the Deputy President of the Republic, but it's housed within the Department of Higher Education and Training under the auspices of the Minister. Now, what government did in the previous administration developed 12 outcomes. As the department was responsible for the fifth outcome, which is a skilled and passive workforce to support an inclusive growth path. That is the outcome that we are responsible for as the PEDP. Now, our vision is that South Africa in which we have a differentiated and fully inclusive post-school system that allows all South Africans to access and succeed in relevant post-school education and training in order to fulfill the economic and social goals of participation in an inclusive economy and society. So our mission basically is to develop happy, well-educated and skilled citizens that are able to compete in a sustained, diversified and knowledge-intensive international economy, which meets the development goals of our country. This is informed in the main largely by the confirmation by a number of research outcomes that unemployment increases progressively as one goes down the educational route. And anybody who has post-school education and training qualification is or has chances of getting employment quite largely. Therefore, as a department, we seek to undertake this vision as well as the mission by reducing the skills what makes a special priority and skills area. So my colleagues will be talking later on this area. Improving low participation rates in the post-school education, correcting distortions in the training style and distribution of access to post-school education and training, and also improving the quality and efficiency in the system, its subsystems and institutions. So the question of improving the quality of provision of program and curriculum in the system is quite important, so that we are able to produce quality and qualified individuals who are going to feel that curriculum by the economy, by the industry. People who will be competent in discharging their responsibility wherever they are applying to those things. Now, we've got about seven strategies. Strategy goal number one is to increase the number of students with expanding access to education and training. Two, adequate incapacitated individual institutions for effective provision of facilitation of learning. Quite important for us to ensure that in our institutions, colleges included, we ensure that the provision of programs is done in a manner that enables the institution to produce quality graduates out of the city. That requires a change of attitude, change of mindset, as well as good work ethics that should be displayed by everybody in the system, including those who are supporting teaching and learning and those who are directly involved in teaching our kids, as well as the attitude of kids and community, so that we are able to ensure that in the system there is not that good. We are staffing the institutions with people who are ready and are quite productive in discharging their responsibility of educating our own children. Goal number three, to increase the number of students successfully entering the labor market upon completion of training. That's why there are quite a number of people who still are caught through partnerships that the department is driving with industry to ensure that we factor in the process of education and training of our youth the element of well-integrated learning, whereby our youth, while they are still in the system, they will be exposed to workplaces, so that when they come out as graduates, they have got some measure of workplace exposure and experience that will enable them to be easily employable and self-employed where it is necessary. Goal number four, to expand research, development, and innovation capacity for economic growth and social development. We're working on this with the science, Department of Science and Technology, into ensuring that we invest a lot in research and innovation in the city to support government initiatives as well as initiatives of the industry as a whole. Five, a college curriculum that is responsive to the demands of the marketplace and can transform and adapt quickly and effectively to changing skills needs, with a special emphasis on artisan training. What was identified in the system was that our education system was more of a British model, which is emphasized normal schooling and thereafter university level. We never put an emphasis as training at an intermediate level. As a result, our college system over time flattened. But what then we have realized was that the footing has been set because having four university students per one college as students. And the international launch is very bad. That is why now we are talking about the expansion of the TVET footing in the country, so that we are able to train quite much at an intermediate level through production of artisans, technicians, as well as technology. Because an engineer is not able to do its work if it's done by himself or by herself. For an engineer to be able to do his or her work quite effectively, they require services of about 15 technicians. And these technicians are trained in the main at TVET quality. That is why the system has to expand and resolve. As we are going further down with our presentation, we would actually pick up the shape now, which is beginning to be realized through a number of interventions that the minister is leading in Africa, because we identified this area as a serious weakness in the system of training and educating our nation. Six, the credible institutional mechanism for skills planning to support an inclusive economic growth path. We don't have a reliable information which is allowing us as a country to plan better for the production of skills in areas that are identified as of need. There is a huge project now we are involved in partnership with Human Sciences Research Council, as well as a number of research units located in our university. Seven, a highly effective professional efficient administration informed by good corporate governance practices across the city. At this stage, I would request the CFO to take us through financial information and budget program with the understanding that we would identify the areas of emphasis so that we do not waste much of the time on issues that perhaps would be not need that kind of emphasis. Not that they are not important. All these issues are important, but the area of emphasis as directed by the chair would actually be looking at the question.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, chairs and members. I'll immediately go to slide number 9 and slide number 10. Those two slides are just an explanation of the budget structure of the department. We are currently consisting of 5 programs. And that is also the organizational structure of the department, those similar 5 programs. First of all, we have the administration branch, which are responsible for the overall management and administration of the department. Then we have our human resource development planning and monitoring coordination branch. Our third branch is university education, responsible for universities. The fourth branch, vocational and continuing education and training, that is mainly where our TVET colleges and adult education matters are dealt with. And then we have the skills branch, dealing with all skills development areas. If we can then go to the next slide, number 11, you will note that slightly different from other departments, our budget is based on 2 components. On the first part, it is the normal voted funds that we have, but then we also have a direct charge. And in our case, the direct charge, which is a direct commitment against the National Revenue Fund, consists of the skills levy revenue, which we receive in terms of the Skills Levy Act. That revenue goes to SARS, and from SARS to the Treasury, it comes to the department, and we distribute that money to the CFAS and the NSF in terms of the Skills Levy Act. Now, for the 2014 NTF, we have the third year this year, 2014-15. You will see that if we exclude direct charges, the budget annually on an average increase was 6.8%. Last year we had 34.3 billion and goes up to 2016-17 to 42 billion rand. The current 36.9 billion that we have for this financial year is an increase of 2.5 billion if we compare it to the 2013-14 allocation and if we exclude direct charges. Now if you look at the direct charges first perhaps, the skills levy for CETAS and the NSF, that in itself increased quite rapidly to 9.5%, and last year we had 12.3 billion and it goes up to 16.1 billion in 2016-17. It's important to note that the direct charges and the skills levy thing is actually an estimate by National Treasury. It's an economic calculation that Treasury does, and they inform us of the rejected collection of skills levies by SARS. In the budget, you will see later on also as we go through the slides that Program 3 University Education is the biggest portion of our budget, that is for the funding of the universities specifically, so almost 83% of the department's budget. Normal departmental services, and Chair, I think this is a very important aspect. If we exclude university transfers, the transfers to our public entities, and our other organizations such as our tier colleges, if we exclude the conditional grants and all other earmarked funding, the normal departmental services that the department have to exercise all its functions is just approximately 1.5% of the total budget, which is very small. I spoke about the high transfers. There you can see on the next slide, just to highlight universities, which is the biggest at the moment. Current financial year 24 billion rand, and it goes up to 27.6 billion in the third year. Our TVET colleges, which is currently 3.2 billion, it goes up to 3.5 billion. And there you also see the conditional grants to the provinces for the TVET colleges salaries, 2.6 billion currently going up to 2.9, almost 3 billion. In the third year. The biggest public entity, the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. We'll get you some information on that later as well. There you can see currently the subsidy that we transfer to them for bursaries and loans to students at universities and TVET colleges for this year will be 6.1 billion and by 2016-17 it will be 6.8 billion rand. Now you can see there in the next slide that our additional allocation over the MTF for this current year is 76 million, and next year we have an additional 153, and the third year an additional 730 million. Now those are mainly for salary increases. The high amount is mainly for the TVET colleges, the compensation of employees for TVET colleges, and perhaps just to flag that the specific abnormal increase in the third year, the 730 million that we refer to, is because of an increase of close to 500 million rand in the estimates that Treasury have for the collection of skills levies. So that 730 is mainly for the direct charge, it's not the direct budget money that we have an increase on. On the next slide, as indicated earlier, NSFAS remains one of our biggest items and also in terms of growth. Over the past 2-3 years, certainly NSFAS was the one budget item that grew substantially within government. And there you can see that, as I indicated earlier, we will by 2016-17 already pay a subsidy of 6.8 billion to NSFAS. However, it's important to note here, and you should have noticed already, that many times when you talk about the total amount that NSFAS distributes in financial year, it's closer to 9 billion rand. And one must take into account that the additional approximately 2 billion that we are talking about are additional amounts that NSFAS receives outside of the department. For example, the Funsam SAFA bursaries, which is basic education transfer to them. There's also additional bursary funding from the NSF. There's also some CETAS that provide bursary money to NSFAS. And NSFAS also recover currently some of the loan amounts of students that completed their studies and who are working And the repayments of those loans also go back into the pool. So in actual fact, Ms. Fund actually distributes approximately 9 billion rand of bursaries and loans per year. Also important to note that while the function shift is still in process, the department currently funds key colleges in two ways. The first is then the normal subsidies that we pay to colleges, which is currently part of how we raise the money. And then we also have the conditional grant, which is mainly the compensation of employees for college employees. Now, the next slide just shows that so that you get a picture of the total funding. For the first year, the subsidies are 3.2 million rand and conditional grant 2.6 billion, sorry. And then it goes up to 3.5 billion in the third year, almost 3 billion on the conditional grant. Now, the next slide gives some detail on how this is distributed per province, but if you just also see a picture from your side and where your responsibilities lie, and I'm going to ask Mr. Ibarra from the ESET branch just to explain the next 2 or 3 slides.
Thank you, Chair, members. The slide left depicts the split of the budgets between the conditional grant and the subsidies on a provincial level. We have structured it in such a fashion that it's from high to low. You can typically see what the biggest ones are, going back to the smaller allocation. What is used here is the endowment that will form the allocation driver for the budget. Our thing will obviously have the most endowment, then to the Northern Cape. And one block on there is your conditional grant, the CFO indicator, and then the subsidy. And overall, if you look at it, it's about a 45 versus a 55% allocation between the conditional grant and the subsidies. If you go to the next slide, you'll see that there's the information in terms of the number of colleges per province, ranging from Gauteng, that's 8, and if you go down, there's Northern Cape, that's 2. And then it's also allocated the percentage, so as you can see that how big is the province in terms of the conditional grant, the subsidies as well as the total budget. So you're able to see that Gauteng takes a share of approximately 23% of the total allocation, so Zulu-Natal 18, Eastern Cape 14, Western Cape 12, Limpopo 11, Mpumalanga 7, Free State 7, North West 5, and Northern Cape 2. So just to give an indication of how the splits are allocated over each province. And like I said, that will be based on the enrollment numbers that will then integrate the allocation of the budget. And thank you, Steve. I think the next slide is specifically referring to the bursary allocation.
Thank you, President. Members, the bursary allocation, this is specifically also for TV colleges. This amount of 2.1 billion is included in the subsidy to NSFAS that is currently paid, and NSFAS distributes this on behalf of the department. Just so that you can see also the actual projected number of bursary recipients per province, as well as the actual allocation that it is per province in terms of all the TVET students that are currently in those provinces. The next slide, just take a brief look of the 5 programs that I've explained earlier, as well as the direct charge, the skills levy, just so that you can see the actual amounts per program. You will see there, as I indicated earlier, university education, the highest program at the moment in terms of funding, and then also our vocational and continuing education and training program, with the majority of funding is mainly because of the distribution of the subsidies of universities, the private colleges, and the majority of our public entities that lie within those 2 programs. The next slide is basically the same information. If you look at the totals at the bottom, you'll see the same as the previous slide, and it just shows you, if you look at the economic classification, how the funding is distributed, and clearly you can see that transfers and subsidies, the third line item there, shows you that 49.6 billion of the total 50.3 billion is actually transfers and subsidies that the department is responsible for. And that includes the transfers and subsidies to SETA and the NSF of the skills levy funding, which is then the direct charge. The next slide, just to highlight some of the key budget pressures of the department. Clearly we understand and we have currently a serious fiscal constraint within government.
And it certainly also impacts on the situation of the department in terms of the services that need to be delivered. The biggest issue, I think, is the fact that we have a serious constraint in terms of rolling out the system and to increase the growth of the system. We can only do that in a limited fashion at the moment within our available funding. The department is looking at possible reprioritization to see how we can address this as well as some of our other key budget pressures. We also have a situation that many of our projects, and especially the second last bullet, if you look at the National Autism Moderation Body, which is a body in terms of the act that we have to establish and perform certain work in terms of autism development, is currently assisted by the NSF as a project, and we at some point in time will need to remove that and start to fund it from the funds, but currently it is not possible. The other immediate pressure that we have, the last bullet, which is very critical, is that we have to take over the functions for TVET as well as adult education and training, and the management of that function shift is highly costly for the department at the moment. Mr. Patel will later on provide some information on the function shift itself, but in terms of costs, we have to make provision for it's about more than 30,000 additional staff members that will move from the various colleges and adult centers to the department. There is no space to accommodate all those files and to administer those functions. So there are quite a number of pressures in terms of additional costs that the department is confronted with. Also then, our examination services, being a national examination service for the FET sector, or the TV sector, as well as adult education, and as enrollments increase, there is an automatic pressure on the number of work that the examination services must perform. And as a result, there is also a cost pressure. Then the Central Application Service has been in the news quite a while, and it's normally in the beginning of the financial year or the academic year when the enrollment starts, especially at our universities, the application process, and therefore the Central Application Service, which is currently in the pilot phase, needs to be rolled out properly, but that will also be a costly process. In terms of financial performance, just to close the financial slides, the department has been in operation since 1 April 2010. As you know, together with Basic Education, we are the new department that is from the old Department of Education. On our books, the underspending over the past 4 years since our establishment has drastically declined. Last year, the total underspending was just about 1.9 million rand, and that was fully committed. It was some plans for examiners and modelizers that could not be finalized due to inquiries on it, as well as some other commitments in terms of orders placed and goods not received yet, which we could not pay. The last bullet that fortunately up to now, and I hope it stays the same, but it is sometimes difficult, that the department up to now received unqualified with opinions tonight. Thank you, Chairperson. If the DJ agrees, I can quickly go to program one.
Yeah, I think so, but let's just clarify. I think it's quite important for Provost to take note of this line. So if you can see that there is conditional grant and subsidy. Now, conditional grant before the transfer, the proclamation by the president of Tibet colleges, which were under the control and jurisdiction of provinces, was then transferred to national departments. So a number of provinces, when that happened, relocated funds for the area. Unlike Gauteng, you can see Gauteng there, they are still maintaining what was being allocated to FET colleges then, TV colleges now, unlike other provinces. which when that proclamation was made, some money that were allocated to conditional grant to colleges, they took that money and they spent it in other areas, but not to colleges, and it's causing a lot of pressure in the system. I think it's important to emphasize that point, because it's having a devastating effect in the system. They are still in control of that money, but it's not utilized entirely for the purpose for which it is intended from the government offer. So the money which is under the control of the national government is subsidy. Hence you can see the disparity between a conditional grant as well as the subsidy, as money that are allocated to colleges. So I think it's important for select committee members to actually take note of that, and I think housing could actually be proud, and we're really proud of it because it's a good example in the effort of the quality skill training at an intermediate level in the country, displayed through deployment of resources in a very meaningful way. No, since I thought that slide needs a bit of full explanation so we understand what it is showing. Yeah. Thank you,
Gigi. Chief members, on program one administration, I'll be very brief. On the first slide, just to highlight perhaps that if you look at the second bullet, there is a priority within the department to fill as much as possible vacant posts. Funding remains limited, and the posts to be filled have been reprioritized within the department, between the various programs, and only those posts that are really critical are currently funded, and we will try our best to fund to actually fill those. The third bullet is also quite important. It refers to the risk management strategy. This is something that was very slow in terms of coming off the ground in the department. Last year we managed to appoint a risk manager. We have now a risk management strategy, and hopefully this year the whole matter around risk management will be better within the department. In the next slide, just to flag on the third bullet, ensuring adherence to policies and standards on supply chain management services. We had some management problems within supply chain. We still had some audit findings on supply chain management, although not that critical that it became a qualification, but they were there. We have now been appointed a person that would act on chief director level to assist with supply chain management, and we hope to drive supply chain management to become better within the department. On the next slide, it's mainly some of the previous issues, just to reflect on the various strategic objectives and the specific targets within Program 1 administration, and we'll see then on the next slide as well that one of the areas that we currently look at in terms of supply chain management that was reflected earlier is the time period to award bids as soon as we advertise them. It was one of the areas that we have a critical problem is the turnaround time of supply chain management, and those are some of the targets that we put in place to ensure that we address those. Chair, the next event program 2, if we can move to Mr. Patel, who will address program 2.
Yeah, program 2 and program 3 is take note of the conveying of time, as that's a direct important.
Our first concern is the support given literally to me to deal with both those programs, because we still need to give an opportunity to someone to ask questions and then find it from the department wherever it is.
I take 5 minutes, then the program 4 and 5, another 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. The document that this APP is based on is this document that should have been what members. Also, this APP is the fifth APP of our strategic plan. So it does contain a lot of the priorities that were in that fourth strategic plan of the fourth administration. Those are the functions in the branch. Jefferson, can I just say that in terms of administrative program one, the DG or the Deputy Director General is Ms. Mbogo, and the CFO presented on her behalf. In regards to this program that is being managed, these are the functions, so the rate of support functions. I just wanted to indicate that the DG indicated the name HRD does not refer to human resource management or human resource administration. That is being dealt with under administrative budget. This HRD is the function that the minister manages, which is chaired by the Human Resource Development Council, chaired by the Deputy President. The priorities are on the next slide, on page 29. Most important priority is to ensure data integration, to ensure that we have proper planning processes and systems in place, to ensure that we can provide the services that we provide in the post-school education and training system. And that information is information among our institutions that we supply, information around the environment, what is the demand, but also information to learners and citizens so that they can take advantage of the of the opportunities within a post-school education training system. Jefferson, on slide 30, another important function here is the national qualification framework. That's for the whole system to ensure that the South African Qualifications Authority, UMALUC, QCTO, and the Council for Higher Education ensure that there is integrity and credibility in regards to our information. On slide 31, part of the other functions are the international relations, children inclusion and equity, as well as career management. The most important issue is career management, career services, and the minister has been given a mandate by cabinet to coordinate career development services across the spheres of government in order to ensure that we deal with gaps and we deal with overlaps. In fact, Jefferson, next week, the minister is hosting his annual Mandela Day Festival, but it is going to be for the whole week, starting on Tuesday in Sabukeng. The Deputy President will be the keynote, will provide the keynote address on Tuesday. Then in terms of Program 2, these are the estimated performance, and they are in this, so I'm not going to go through it. Estimated performance in 2013-14, and then what we're targeting for 2015. You can see that we're going to continue iterating the data of our institutions. Our universities have increased by 2, and therefore we've got 23 and 25 higher education institutions. That's the difference between the two. I spoke about career development services by March. We need to have a policy in place. So the basic education, Department of Labor, ourselves, provincial education department, we do not talk over each other in the provision of career development, nor do we leave anything out. Then of course the international relations, for example, we're going to have the BRICS meeting in Brazil, so we have to support our minister and his delegation that's going to be joining the president for that BRICS meeting. And also we have international donors and a number of responsibilities there. Jefferson, this is the most important two or three slides that I think I need to indicate. The CFO spoke about it, the DG spoke about it. But the function shift process was not as a result of the split of the department in 2009. Because the president only splits the old department of education, basic education and higher education. But when the minister met with MEC from province of education, they had indicated to the minister, since you are dealing with higher education and training, schools and universities, can you also take on further education and training and adult education? Which constitutionally, up to the day, Chairperson, is a constitutional responsibility of government. Adult education and equity. What has only happened is that the legislation has changed the responsibility to solely to the Minister of Higher Education and Training. So, technically, some current, a province can still offer those particular services, but in terms of this legislation, at the moment, the legislation only allows for the Minister of Higher Education Training. The concern here is that it's been very difficult to deal with the function shift, because the function shift is like a divorce. Every everybody wants to hide the resources away, everybody wants to cut everything up, even if it's the garbage bin, what we have a shame. So the problem here, Chairperson, is working with 9 provinces, the National Department, National Treasury, Provincial Treasury, one can understand the issue. So this is a serious, serious problem. That our wisdom will not be able to fully take over the function if the funds do not move. Now what the CFO has explained in regards to the budget, there is only Program 5, that means FEC, and AAT is in Program 6 in provinces. Chairperson, there was somebody, there were people that had FEC units in the province that service FEC colleges. There are HR people, there are finance people in Program 1 of the province that services FEC colleges. Now, while our minister has taken on major part of the responsibility, not a single cent has come to the Department of Higher Education and Training to administer those functions. So that condition grant is direct transfers. All money goes direct to the service of the colleges, the faculties. We have difficulties, and I think some of the questions that provinces must be able to face is why is it up to now that they have not contributed towards ensuring that the function shifts moves properly? They are in possession of the information. Unfortunately, we don't have it. We're getting 38,000 employees that are going to join up in addition to the 1,000. So to manage those employees means lots of computers, lots of administrative people. It's all sitting in the provinces, and it's very difficult to be able to identify it without the cooperation. And I must say, as a person mandated by the minister in terms of the intergovernmental protocol, where I'm the liaison person, that MEC in the provinces over these 4 years have still not submitted the liaison officer. So that is the biggest that I want to indicate. But most of the other stuff is in the text, and I'm going to speak about it here. I'm also now...
thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. The next problem.
Thank you.
The next program is program 3.
Again, I apologize here for Dr. Diane Parker, who is the acting DVP, also caught up with the frost at over summer. In terms of university education, is to expand the numbers to ensure that we have greater success. In expanding the numbers, probably are aware that we quite, one of the highlights has been the extension of the Salt Lake University in the Northern Cape and Mpumalanga University, other traditional universities. This year, one of the priorities is the establishment of the University of Health and Allied Sciences in the county, so that this will end on additional universities. So we will have in total 27. This particular program deals with financial aid schemes, research. One of the priorities is to increase the postgraduate students, decrease graduates in the state's particular skills. So the targets there on slide 43, those are in print. I'm not going to go through them. I'm not going to read them. But you can see what we performed last year and what we aim to perform this year. So if I go to slide 44, I just want to explain in slide 44. That's also fine. I can move on to slide 47. I just want to indicate that we had 76% for both the years. There should have been a decimal. 76% was the performance in 2013-14 and 76.4% is the target for this particular year. So, Chairperson, again, a lot of the details in there, I'm not going to read through it. It goes right up to slide 52, and I'll stop there.
Program 4, yes, what do you mean?
On slide 53, and I think the DD has already spoken to the issue of priority goals in the department. and site three aspirants on those, except that it also emphasizes the collaboration between the university center and the college center. And then in fact, it also talks to expanding the institutional base where we look at our centers for the post for the youth and the adults for the provision of the GECC, and also we use them for the provision of the alternative matrix equivalent qualification to the exam level. And I'd like to five, again, including access with by establishing more infrastructure in order to accommodate the numbers that we are projecting. And at the same time, in grade 2 of 53 is to improve the certification rate in the vocational qualification. And in slide 56, the priority is to increase participation. When the court administration took over, the participation rate was 2.7%, and in 2013, the estimation is almost 6%, which is going to be over 670,000. And to ensure articulation, we also emphasize the improvement of portability of credits, and Mr. Pelos has already spoken to the significance of the functionship process of both TVET and adult education. And in order for our institutions to deliver their mandate, we also have to ensure that we beef up or we improve their financial management system, an example of which is the partnership which we have with SAICA as we speak. And another priority is to ensure employers' credible quality examination system. On page 58, those are targets with regard to access. We're targeting 800,000 headcounts, and the certification rate targets are 57, 50, and 50 in the respective qualifications. And the other figures for rate 59 have to do with the projected pass rate based on the estimation of 2013. And one indicator which the minister, with the approval of cabinet, is going to put in place to establish the community college, which will be a conversion of the existing other training centers once function is shifted. On page 61, that is the state per province the enrollment, particularly for this year 2014, we're projecting 800,000. And then on page 62.
Okay, yeah. I think we're talking about enrollment, you know, that are quite straightforward, you know, going forward here. Yeah.
I think the members will be able to
That's correct. The last program, I think 2 minutes, which is sufficient. That's all. Yeah.
Thank you, DG and Chagasin and the members. On our side, the skills development branch is mainly focusing on the administration monitoring of the work of the skills institutions or skills levy institutions, CITAS, the National Skills Fund. And the critical matter that has identified in the work that the department has to do is the production of artisans. As you would see inside the three, the main focus is on on getting young people to register for citizenship and then making sure that more spaces are created to train them over the period, and also focusing on ensuring that there's an alignment in the work that we're doing as an education system to what is required in the workplace. The program two has already indicated the work that is being done in terms of determining what we refer to as a critical skills management for the department, which is very much closely related to what the CITAS are doing as the process institutions to the labor market. The next slide that follows,
I think but basically what he is talking about is that this area is responsible for the facilitation of learning at the workplace in the main. That's what it does. So in that process, there are various interventions and output that are expected. Production of artisans, you know, etc. through that workplace exposure, workplace training facilitated by the parents on an ongoing basis.
No, thank you, G. I'm going for the marathon. I did not see here on the transportation concern. The department is too big, so we can't have full engagement over an hour. We need to set aside some time to come together once again and really point over other critical issues. But before I head over to the members, I'm here to see the life that we represent the interests of provinces. That the data are part of provinces. So we did bring up in a presentation the status of change at the level of provinces and the problem that actually articulated the need to take back as representatives back to our provinces. One issue that I wanted to raise is the issue of access to the CDC. Did you speak about it? Access to education is a constitutional right. But as members representing communities, that's not a problem. Where universities raise the entrance minimum requirements too high for students, particularly those that come from rural areas, that to be able to access a university tuition. That is my one concern. I want to know what the department is doing in that regard. Secondly, the issue of capacitating lecturers at level of education colleges, we call them CVET now. I don't know to what extent the department has been successful actually ensuring that they've got the required qualification in order to deliver quality education, because the whole issue is about quality education. During the State of the Nation address, the President spoke about 12 training and vocational institutions that are going to be established. The representing provinces want to make progress in that regard, because we are interested to know how our provinces are going to benefit. Another issue that I wanted to raise is the issue of student performance in the ECT and ECFAS. I know that the department is actually paying for the students to keep it for the institution, but I don't know if there is sufficient follow-up in terms of assurance that the investment that the department is making real results. Because there are many more students that would want to benefit from the same opportunity, but we do observe from time to time that the tendency is that they don't even finish their qualification, and therefore there is waste of money. So what follow-up are we making in terms of ensuring that they finish and that the quality of education they are receiving is up to scratch, particularly with regards to mathematics, those training that require them to qualify in terms where mathematics is a required subject. I'm rushing through, let me hand over to other members to raise issues that we want to raise from the presentation. I'm going to start from the side. Honourable member.
Thank you,
Honourable Chair. Let me move through to the side.
Firstly, I want to know, you said that you have at this stage 26 degrees, 27 for universities, it's upcoming. So we have a lot of universities in South Africa at this stage. What I want to know is how are they compared with the education level in each and every university? Is it on the same level? Who is looking after that? Because we do not tell them that the 14 universities are basically in the same course on the same level. Who are the people who is looking after that, and how are you doing that? And how are our universities compared with the rest of the world's universities? Sometimes we hear our universities is used as, if I can use this word, in the rest of the world's eyes. So I want to know what is your view regarding that. What are the departments doing to see that there is also diversity in all high education institutions. There was a lot of things in the newspapers in the past regarding that. And it's also important to see that it is healthy between different culture groups in the university. What is the department doing to see that is in line with our constituency? Can you guarantee the committee and also the private sector to to see that we have, that our students have the necessary skills after completing their courses in the university, so that they are ready for the market outcome. It seems sometimes students, when they finish their courses, they are not on top of everything when they enter the free market outcome. What are you doing to get more and better educators, students, and then better students in the system for education? We know there's a lack in our education system at this stage, especially for teachers. What are we going to get better people there? And also to have get people into the system where we have a passion for education. And that is very important. Because all we know, many of the teachers just sitting and the most of the day and doing nothing at school. They haven't got that passion for education. So what are we going to do better for the future of South Africa and also for our youth? I think that is very, very important. Slide 21. My last question, Chairperson, and that is on the document, slide 21. That is the housing budget. That is regarding the budget. You only mentioned 2013-14 on that slide, and the rest of the there's nothing about the housing. So there's a budget for housing, and for that specific year, and the rest there's nothing. I want to know what is on that. Thank you.
The rest of the questions you can give to the department, they'll answer you in writing.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I will stick to the two questions and I think I'm going to be very quick. The first question is that in the previous year, the department, there were some forensic investigations in the different colleges, FED colleges and all of that. So we really appreciate if the department engages or give us an update as to what is the state in those institutions or what are the interests that they need. The last question is in regard to the state of accommodation overcrowding in the different provinces. What is the department doing in that regard? And which oversight role is the department playing in that regard? Thank you very much, Honorable Roger. Yes.
Thank you, Professor. I don't know if I can speak to your question, sir. The first issue is the functionship and also the clarity that was given to us by both the gentleman there and the DG in respect of the hiking of resources by provinces. DG, that is not what they tell us in the provinces. In the program,
they are not hiding, honorable member. They are using creatively.
Okay. In the program, the story is the other way around. So I don't know how you sort this out in the meetings with the program, because we are hearing this for the first time here. What we know is that you are not giving programs what they are supposed to be getting. That is the story I know from my program. And the conditional grant being used for other things rather than what it is meant for. I'm also puzzled there because when it says conditional, what I was taught is that you cannot use it for anything else. It's conditional because there are these conditions. Now, when that happens, what do you do? Because the conditions are spelled out. You just cannot sit and wait because when the conditions are not met, something has to be done. What will not happen on your side, agent?
Yeah, I think we can rob private investment as a result we are not able to have them because that is the question of strengthening the government. Just a request before I make my input that maybe next time we did the strategy of preservation, especially that one system to them in all the areas, especially public in such a way that it is more on the provinces than the agencies. your input when you started here, you said ATP and microfiltration not certain. And that is why we're going to be monitoring. They only, the digital is really started in strict numbers, and so this is the P when they come back again. In fact, I want to request that they come back to check. Because this crisis of patients trying to interact with the government, not trying to get to the interact directly. The two issues, I know that are leaving critical issues behind which I have come back to this. Two issues. This department is a very simple department in changing the face of the nation in terms of skill development and educated nation with a developing nation. What is the department doing in terms of preparing for the access of students from the basic education to university? The condition during admission period, I don't know what is the department doing, but it tells me that there is no clear working relationship between the basic education and the higher education. If they were, would not have such a condition at the beginning of the year. I don't know whether it just depends, because the universities, it means that we are not ready as a department. We don't prepare ourselves. It just happens. It's not controlled. That is one issue. What which with an input may not be a question, it's just to say look into that. Prepare the search and check how many students are we expecting in this financial year. In fact, you may start for home affairs looking at the trend of children that might not be very invaded at the education. The second matter, Chair, that I was saying, I don't know which one to take. Let me take among the collaboration. ENCOC is not only about provinces, it's also more about working with other departments in the classroom. There was an issue of accommodation, student accommodation. To what extent do you want to provide a decent accommodation and avoid these money that we pay to private accommodation outside the institute? To what extent do we collaborate with human settlement in terms of the social housing or rental stuff? Because I know they will depend on the settlement that it will be reasonable for students to stay in those accommodations. Maybe there is a need, Chair, that as a bigger, as a select committee, we need to meet the two select committees so that there is this information, because education, as much as it is in this select committee, is more related to social class, it is related with the department that are on social class. Those are the two issues, but I'm the first thing that we need in the department. Okay.
Thank you. Honorable Ghana, Chairperson, it's good to hear from you. Thank you. After how we are looking for you in the brain of the session and put together. Much has been touched, Gigi, but on your reply to us or on your presentation, you mentioned that certain measures were never put in place at an integrated level, and hence we have a problem at teacher level. And I want to see what you're doing about it, because you came out that there were never measures put at an intermediate. We have dropped out. And I want to know what he's doing about people they have funded in the first, and then after 2 years of this, they drop out. They call or throw because they haven't met the exam page, and they are not even allowed to even write the media and say anything about it. And I want to know from the look that we've given to them, are they coming back? You never touch on that. Secondly, I want to know about your disability inclusive. We ask the commissioners to bring every convention of the people with disabilities. I haven't heard, and I know for a fact that UWC in the Western Cape is accommodating in terms of access, in terms of people of disability, but I know for a fact that UWC is doesn't. There is just window shopping of disability at UWC, and I'm talking from what I know. I want to also say that the territory that has come with NIMSA is at a crisis. And I know for a fact that NMU, some of the people, some of the learners, such as him, after 6 months, there was no money allocated for them to buy health food. There's been things for the study, and there was no money for them to travel to, for those who came in what came. I want to know what have you done about it. We've seen in Houghton province, the treasury, that we've seen some of the prayer coming from NMU, and I'm mentioning those two specific tertiary levels. And I want to know the time frame. Nothing has been mentioned, it's just that it will be done. We want the time frame, the exact time frame of when it will be happening.
I want to share with the department what is the responsibility of the Department of Higher Education in terms of helping the community in terms of the money contributions that are almost scattered across the country, because they are failing on their tools to implement their social labor plan. What is the role of the department in terms of seeing to it that this money now has still to be in terms of still transfer time?
How many minutes, sir?
1 minute.
I think that's a great one process, because the issues are quite substantial and not issues that you can just deal with them in a minute. I think basically what we need to do, based on the questions that you posed, would be to respond in them in writing. And other questions that may still be outstanding from the members, they should be submitted in writing. But other areas are more of perhaps concern youth, and we will categorize them as such. Now, one critical question I think we need to clarify, how do universities compete with each other? What a university exists by means of law. That's the first thing. Secondly, programs that are offered at universities are quality assured by Council for Higher Education. And they often are monitored by Higher Education Quality Council. And if any university is not meeting the standards, that university to provide that particular program to strip off of that site. So that's the standard which is in there. How our universities are comparing to international universities, our universities in terms of research, teaching, they are featuring quite prominently at an international level. That is displayed amongst other things by exportation of skills from South Africa to other countries. We know for a fact right now that, for instance, US, Canada, UK in the main are being sustained by medical doctors that are produced here in the country. Nursing as well. Skills area engineers. Our engineers produced here were helping Brazil to build a World Cup team in there. They are coming from here. They're being taught at our universities here. Comparatively, our institutions are quite on par, and they have surpassed quite a number of international institutions, both in terms of research as well as teaching. I think that's the question we need to clarify after that. Yes, it's quite important. Now, the question of accommodation. In 2010, the minister established a task team to make an assessment and a close study of the accommodation challenges in our system. Now, amongst other things, what that report found was that only about 20% of student population is housed in university-owned accommodation in the country, across our university. 80% is not being able to be accommodated at university-owned accommodation because
there's been sufficient infrastructure and funding in that regard. And now, what we are doing as a department, we have allocated resources within what the country could afford for infrastructure expansion at our institutions, of which the former disadvantaged universities are getting a lion's share of that amount of money. It's to the tune of, from the National Trust Cup, how much is 1.6 billion, eh?
Yes.
Of which 1.2 billion is allocated to former disadvantaged institutions. But it's not enough, because the demand is too huge. If you go to Nepal, it's the same thing as well, which then calls honorable members to appropriating and disseminating of the deployment of resources to prioritize as to in this area we should be allocating so much resources amongst the competing needs of the country. That's where the challenge is facing. But with the resources that are available, there is a lot that we are actually doing, including addressing the question of networks, of which there are a couple of challenges in relation to the social media. There are weaknesses at institutional level. There are corrupt practices by both students as well as officials. There are quite a number of challenges, not just one problem located elsewhere or in government, whatever, but we are attending to all those challenges. The Minister study, for instance, met all the chairs of the University Council, and among the areas that were high on the agenda is this area. And the chairs themselves, they actually acknowledge weaknesses that are there in the institution, in the administration and utilization of network itself, including corrupt practices that go with it. Now, I think that perhaps it would be a bit fair to respond on this in writing, because there is no time under pressure now. Yeah. What the department is doing as is access to university. Here we are actually obliged to change the perception of our people in relation to the entire system of education. Because the problems that we are having are born out of everybody who enters the schooling system. You are dreaming of a university. As though there are no other areas of training. Even if in preparing for a state of readiness, the minister is always leading a campaign which is anchored on career guidance. And in that process, we outline the opportunities that are in there for our youth. At universities, at TVET colleges, at learnerships, as well as at other forms of colleges and other opportunities that would afford our youth opportunities for training to enroll in there. There are quite a lot. Perhaps we need to provide that booklet to members. Well, there is a booklet in that regard. What developing, distributing each and every year. But our education system is not just fully university. If our mindset as a country is confined on that, we'll have problems that will never be able to resolve. The university component of education is supposed, according to international norms, constitute only about 30% of student population. The 20% should be in other programs, largely as technical and vocational education and training. That's what we are doing now in terms of advocacy, career guidance, and the deployment of resources, such that by 2009, enrollment at TIFA colleges was around 200,000. Now it has increased up to 800,000. We are closing the gap. The response from the public is quite encouraging.
Thank you very much. Members, please confine your questions and give them to the political secretary who is going to direct all the questions to the DG, and we are going to be awaiting a reply to that soon. Secondly, we intend
to look for, we tend to look for time or space where we are going to engage the department better than this group. There are a lot of issues that we won't be able to face because of that.
Maybe on top of that, the ministers are referred to the portfolio committee, a whole day workshop on this matter. And I think that workshop will include both the portfolio committee as well as the next committee, so that we go through the issues, not in a rush, but in quite substantial. Not with a view of asking questions, but with a view of contributing in developing the system.
Thank you very much. Honourable Member, I'm really not good, and I'm sorry. I'm not good. Otherwise, I'll go on. Thank you very much, Vicky, and your team. We look forward to having a very good working relationship with you, with a view to taking education forward and improving the quality on a day to day basis. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And look, those ladies, very much.
I'm not sure.